The baptism of Jesus gets told in multiple ways, in multiple places. And each of the gospel writers tells us from a different perspective. And I always figure it as a lens that this one was looking this way, and then this one was over here looking this way. So they all saw it from a different perspective. But what is interesting in the Luke passage is we have this passage right after John has been baptizing a host of people. So we have the crowds that are gathered there by the river wondering what is going on, that this man is doing this baptism and talking about repentance and turning around and changing your ways and being renewed, and it's only a water baptism. And Jesus gets baptized. If you notice, Luke didn't talk to us about Jesus coming up out of the water. Did you pay attention to that? Were you listening? Jesus, instead, is praying when the Holy Spirit comes. Now, some gospel writers have this experience between Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the voice of heaven as if it's only between Jesus and God. Luke is very specific here. He says that the Holy Spirit comes down physically, bodily, like a dove. And he doesn't say, and the voice spoke to Jesus. He says, and a voice from heaven came and said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." So I don't know if you thought about this, but how did that crowd react? There was a crowd there. They were hearing this. They were seeing this. They saw the heavens break open and the dove come down. And some of them had to hear the voice from heaven. Some of them had to. But even in the midst of that, we have John talking about the fact that there are wheat and there is chaff. Even in that crowd, there is wheat and there is chaff. So I don't know about your imaginations, but my imagination takes me into that place where some didn't even know something happened. They were so busy in whatever was happening around their family unit and eating and talking and gossiping, probably didn't even have a clue that the most important thing in history had just happened. All they knew is they got in the water, they got their redemption, they have been redeemed, they're going on their merry way, and life is good. But John was very specific there. Life isn't always that good. That God is the judge who will judge what is wheat and what is not wheat. But it's interesting that what John talks about isn't the water of baptism, but it's the Holy Spirit, the fire of baptism. And the Acts passage that Taylor read for us, that seemed to be a problem with that community, that they had been baptized in the name of Jesus, so they were baptized in water. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit had not come upon them. So you'd almost say it was a two-part baptism. Doesn't it feel like that? That first there was water and then there was Holy Spirit. But as good United Methodists, we know that water baptism also includes the Holy Spirit. But what happens in our lives in this transformation moment of water and the Spirit is that fire, that unquenchable Holy Spirit fire that we always show as our candles lit in the midst of worship, that fire begins to work in our souls. And this is what happens. Sometimes the Spirit hits before the water is dunked or sprinkled or poured or whatever we do with our water. Sometimes the Holy Spirit hits us and begins that transformation process such that we want to get down here and get in the water as soon as we can because we know who our Savior is. Sometimes we sort of feel that call. It's sort of like a nudging, almost like the beginnings of a charcoal fire. Have you ever noticed the beginnings of a charcoal fire? If you don't add a lot of that fluid that stinks, it seems to be a really slow start. And you wonder, is it ever going to catch fire? Am I ever going to cook that steak? Well, sometimes the Holy Spirit in us moves that way. And so we take our time, and it begins to build and build and build. And as we move in the life of faith and in the life of the church, because we were baptized as an infant and that Holy Spirit came into our lives at that moment of baptism, suddenly it bursts forth, and that's the person who says, is there something I can do for Jesus here? And suddenly they're so on fire that we don't know what to do with them. So the Holy Spirit moves in each of us very differently. But what the water and the Spirit does, as soon as we are baptized, whether as the infant who comes to the font, and we stand there and the infant cries, and the pastor sprinkles the water on the crying baby, as soon as that moment happens, they become part of the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is present there. But they are also changed in the midst of that moment. They are renewed. They are recreated. And then God continues to recreate them until that time of confirmation, when they kneel here and we offer their confirmation stole and anoint them with oil, and they say yes back to God. And we watch that transformation as they grow, so that some of you might remember Michelle when she was confirmed. Some of you might remember Kim when she was confirmed. I don't know how many remember John when he was confirmed. But in the body of Christ, as we work together and grow together in the transformation of our lives, by the water and the Spirit, we are never, ever the same. When that Spirit moves in us, it begins to, I always think it burns the chaff off of us so that we become wheat. Granted, some of us may not. But we're not the ones to judge who is the wheat and who is the chaff. All we are to be is faithful to the one who went to that river Jordan and was baptized by John, came out, kneeled, and prayed to the Lord for the gift of the water. And then he received the Holy Spirit. And anyone who was there who was paying attention knew that the world had been changed in that very moment.